U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast. It is Double George Trouble, the dangerous duo. It is George Cooper and George Singer. I thought they were friends. They've sat apart. There's a seat in between them. I'm clearly the ref in this duo, but delighted to be joined by them both. We're going to be getting into Fulham. Brilliant result last night, beating Derby. We've had some terrific home form, not on their travels as much, but 4 clean sheets as well recently. Fulham absolutely dispatched them 3-0. Scott Parker's side really starting to click in what is a crucial period at the minute. No international break, thank God. Don Betts won't be happy, but none till March. That means the games, as they do in the Championship, they come thick and fast. 6 points since that return from the international break. Fulham just firing on all cylinders when it matters. Back in the playoffs, right up there. Even managing to win and score when Mitrovic wasn't playing. He was suspended. But we have to start, as we always do on the Fulham Fan Show, at the top, the three-word reviews. Who better to do them than the man himself, the very own, the legend, George Cooper.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Charlie. And I only hope that I can live up to such an intro.
Checks in the post, mate.
Yeah. So I've got lots of lovely, positive three-word reviews. I've not categorised them this time. So
George is gutted, and I have to say I agree with him.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm not categorising, but one particular three-word reviewer I feel deserves a special shout out, which is Richard Bamba, because every single time I look at the three-word reviews, he's there quick as a flash, top of the list with at least 3 three-word reviews.
Big yourself up, Richard.
He must, like, the second the whistle blows, he must be straight on his phone.
But put some respect on his
name. He did one of the favorite ones, which is Bobby Duck Over Reed, which I think we're all delighted to see that Bobby Reed's broken his duck. What a sight it is to see. I thought it was a fantastic goal as well. Just typical striper, get anything on the end of it, but we'll come on to that. And special shout out for Matt Wall. He said Bobby Duck is over Reed. So a couple of people came in with that. Rich Bamba also, who are you? But instead of, you know, because it's the Rams, you, E-U-E, is in the field.
Yeah, it's good.
And thank you. And then, well done.
George
and then,
is available for corporate
well, no,
gigs.
This and if you mine. Don't get this the, isn't mine.
You, yeah, but I mean, as if you don't get the joke, oh, George will explain it for you. No, you may think I'm joking. I need this, George, constantly.
Yeah, we'll bag you a corporate, Charlie. We'll bag you a corporate. So we've got Come On You, Whites, and with a similar pun. Lawrence Lost, lol. That was from our very own Jack Kelly after the, quite frankly, abysmal performance from Lawrence. And then we have Paddy Doherty, starting to gel. I think we all agree. I've been saying it time and time again. Fulham need a bit of time to hit their stride, but once everything starts to go smoothly, we're firing on all cylinders. Sam Witcher, silencing the Rams. A pun on silence of the Lambs. Good, that one, isn't it? Very good. AF, very own Fulhamish. Tuesday's Demolition Derby. FFC Kavlar, Rams got rammed. I like that one. Certain connotations.
Lucky we're at 9:05.
Yeah, just passed towards the shed. Luke Retch, classic cottage ramshackling. I like that one. It's got a hit.
We're getting into dangerous territory here, aren't we?
It's like a sort of Partridge-esque that one, that Alan Partridge. Jack and Loz, stress-free win. Jamie Duncan, Rams run ragged. Cole Berry, we're going up. Just simple, to the point. Andrew Lang, injuries racking up. Interesting talking point. They are starting to clock up, so is that a cause for concern? And I'd really like this one, and it's a reason why I think sort of middle-aged people shouldn't have Twitter, because the guy's name on Twitter.
George, careful.
No,
careful.
I'm joking. It's fantastic. Thank you for sending it. I don't mean to take the Mickey.
What do you think about old people driving?
Hang on, let's back off a sec. So his user handle name is his email address. So it's J Harkness.
Well, don't give it out on air.
No, but that's his Twitter thing. Well, yeah, anyway, at opusnet.com.au. I didn't read it all out, but I think you know who you are. And the three word review was delightful, majestic, exceptional. So another nice one. Hin Hearts Beer, Kamara's Killer Cross, Colin McNabola. Onoma is awful, so it's the only we had to have one negative in there. This is Fulham after all. This one made me laugh. Shaz Shires, Car Crash Derby. Was that a bit close to the
moment? Too soon. Too soon, I think, George.
No one was. All right, whatever. We'll gloss over that one. We can edit it out. Oh, wait, this is live, isn't it? Anyway. Luca Lille. I'm not sure if I can read that one, actually.
George, have you not doctored these?
Full ramming, so I'll let you make your own minds up as to what that one could be.
I think, George, you're in charge next time.
No, it's right. I didn't say anything, did I? Jarek Winoweski, unstoppable Camarino, if you would imagine.
This is going downhill.
Yeah. Cavs Quality Corner from Brian Chapman, last two, I swear. Alistair Winstanley, worse without Kamara. And then Christian Lineberg, County comfortably culled. And then that's it, I promise, no more. But those are the three reviews. Thanks for everyone who got in touch and sent those in.
Well, those were your three word reviews. Sterling job from the man himself, George Cooper. We have to bring in the other George, who will be doing the three word reviews from here on in, because Cooper somewhat fluffed these chances. Mitrovic, like Mitrovic, you are back in the lineup, George. What was your own three word review?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot there.
That's seven
I'm,
words.
I'm going to... I think I'm surely going to steal the Bobby Duck is overread. I think that's superb. I think, you know, clearly that's the big talking point. You know, we all want him to finally break his duck. He seems like a really nice guy. I think a lot of the fans and also a lot of the players really wanted him to break that duck. When he finally got the goal, everyone was running around him. You know, he's clearly a popular guy in the dressing room, and hopefully this is going to be the first of many for the chap.
Yeah, first of many. Obviously, I know you've talked about the game to death, the QPR game. Now, Derby, these are teams in and around you, George. Obviously, that happens in the Championship. You know, a couple of wins and someone's right there with you, or you fall to their level. But it's important that when we are seeing QPR do relatively well this season, Derby, their terrific home form, you know, five successive home wins, four successive clean sheets. You're coming in there and, you know, it just seems that Fulham now have taken it to another level where maybe these Championship teams aren't just quite yet.
Yeah. I've said it time and time again that Fulham don't ever hit that. I've always said after Christmas is when we really start to hit our stride. Notoriously slow starters for as long as I can remember. And yeah, back to your point that we're starting to look sort of a cut above the rest. We're starting to gel. I think Parker's getting tactically more capable with each game. You know, you can tell he's taking it seriously. You know, he's learning from previous mistakes. He's taking everything on board. And the thing that strikes me about him is that he's not afraid to sort of, you know, ask his coaching staff and people that he feels are more experienced from him and ask them for what direction the club should be going in. But yeah, exactly. Derby County, you know, as you said, they've got the fantastic home form. But we completely schooled them yesterday. Let's not make any mistakes. You know, it was a textbook comfortable win. You know, early goal just before half time, like all the key touch points, and when you want to be, you know, pulling, you want to be scoring,
yeah.
And then a late goal to kill it off at the dead. Like, what more could you want? It was an accomplished performance. Fulham did fantastically, and I really, really hope that we're going to see a lot more performances like it moving forward.
Yeah, it felt like the complete performance, and obviously two games in quick succession at home there, George. But when you are facing those teams, and now you just feel like you're finding that next gear, we must remember that we say, as George said there, that Fulham, you know, not always slow starters, but take a while to get into their rhythm. This is Scott Parker's first full managerial season as well. He's someone else needs to find his own rhythm, and the players, you know, they've had longer now. They've had that third international break. And if anything, when you want to peak is the time now till March, when there is no other international break and the games are going to be every 2 to 3 days.
Absolutely. You know, we say it all the time, but momentum in football is so important, especially when the games come thick and fast. You know, if you can keep the confidence up, keep the players playing well with their heads up, you know, this is the perfect time to have that kind of confidence. I fully agree. And I think part of the reason for our slow starts is it seems every summer transfer window, we overhaul pretty much the whole squad. You know, we've seen it time and time again with, you know, this year with all the loans coming in and people like Knockhart, Cavallero, Deckard Overeed, you know, they've needed time to bed in. They've never played with each other. They've never played with the other people in the team. They have to work out how they play with each other, how, you know, what their favourite runs are. And you finally see, you know, it finally really, really feels like they're starting to bed together. So I think going forward, it's a really good time. You know, if we could choose a time for them to be so many kind of condensed matches, now is probably the time you'd pick, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they come thick and fast around this time of year. And yeah, it's slightly concerning, as was alluded to in the three-word reviews, that we're starting to pick up a few niggles. But on the converse side of that, a lot of our key players are really starting to hit form, which is, you know, fantastic to see.
Yeah, just starting to peak at the right time. You look at those two games and they were almost won in a different manner. You know, QPR took the lead, yet to come from behind. QPR could have had a few more goals, it was fair to say. Ream nearly scored that own goal. They felt that they were sort of not harshly done, but they were very much in that game, QPR. Fulham come back. Mitrovic was banned. AK got the goals. He was someone that was on the fringes of the teams. He comes back and he gets the winner. That's almost a statement in a sense, George, that you can win without the big man. Because everyone always says, best striker in the Championship. He's, you know, he's already got 13 for the season. Can they do it when he's not there? You did. And then completely in a different manner, like you said, brushed aside Derby. It's key that your team can win in different ways.
Yeah, no, strength and depth, which is something that I'm not sure Fulham have always had. Certainly key areas that we talk about a lot on the podcast and the radio show. But yeah, no, as you said, you know, Mitrovic was out, banned for the QPR game, and then we brought in Kamara, and what a revelation that man has had these last two games. I think he deserves every bit of plaudits that he's getting. That ball that he put in for Bobby Reed's first goal is absolutely fantastic. We were discussing it earlier, George, a beautiful little deft cross in, and also I love the way that he sort of like jockeyed, the ball was rolling back and he sort of like jockeyed back and then put it in. He had loads of time. It was fantastic to see. And another thing I'm genuinely so excited to see is the prospect of an Abubakar Kamara in full form and playing on full confidence, because he's a confidence player. He is, you know, when he's not having his day, he gets frustrated, he has mistakes, and I think we're starting to see what his true potential. And if he carries on having these fantastic games, I mean, I think, you know, his physical attributes, his pace, his strength, if he can just do finishing and crossing and like continuing to prove those areas of the game, I think we could have a very, very special player on our hands. And he's still only 24.
Yeah, and he's almost, you know, he got loaned out last year. He had trouble with Mitrovic himself. Obviously, the rumours that went on, the spat between those two. Now, almost great man management by Scott Parker. He finds himself in the side. I don't want to use the term, you know, we hear it in football a lot, almost like a new signing. But whenever we mention, oh, Mitrovic was out, we spoke about Bobby Reed and all the wealth of attacking options Fulham have. He has come in. But more importantly, George, he stepped up. And now you have almost another selection headache, another dilemma into, well, we can't take him out. He's playing this well. And it's a good headache for Scott Parker to have.
It's a lovely headache, especially when you've got so many games coming up. You're going to want a bit of rotation. And you know, comparing him to Mitrovic is going to start every game he's fit. I think,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
As well as Abu plays, Mitro is always going to play. But I think especially on the wings with the new guys, Cavallero and particularly for me, Knockhart, have really struggled there. They also seem like confidence players, particularly Knockhart. He goes for a few dribbles. If he loses or misses a few of them, his head goes down. And, you know, he really struggles. And I think that's where Abu brings something completely different. And we saw it a few times against Derby. He gets the ball, he puts his head down, and he just runs straight into the box. Completely different type of player, and the Derby players didn't really know how to deal with him. So I think, you know, it's all about having those different options. And the Championship, you got so many different kind of sides, so many different tactics. You need different keys to unlock different doors, and I think that's what Abu gives us.
Absolutely. Different keys unlock different doors. I love that from George. Well, one of the doors that was unlocked, it was Bobby Reed getting his first goal. We can speak about so many men, but we're going to speak about him next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, the dangerous duo, the two Georges, George Cooper and George Singer. Let me tell you, as always, brilliantly we've done three-word reviews, George Cooper there. We're going to do listener questions. You're going to want to stay around for that. I've had a sneaky peek, and there are a couple of diamonds in there. You'll be waiting to hear those, and we'll be joined by Tom Coleman from Wales Online to do a Swansea preview, another Friday night game where Fulham are concerned. George Cooper said loves them. It means you've got the whole weekend. Me and George Singer, we're not sold. We're not so sure yet, because if it doesn't go your way, the result, then the whole weekend is a downer. George, I feel like you want to come straight in on that.
Yeah, but it does go your way, and you've got 3 points in the bag, and you've got the whole of your weekend to look forward to. You had your football fix, you've had a few beers after the game, and then you've got wake up on Saturday, you can do whatever you want in the day. You don't have to be, well, no, obviously, like, there's nothing better to do on a Saturday go to a football game, but what I'm saying is, you already felt like you've had your weekends, and then it's like a bonus,
it's like a
weekend.
Bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're far too optimistic, mate.
Yeah.
How long have you been following Fulham?
what happened to the last Friday game that we had?
Very true. There's a trend following, that's for sure. Well, this time they're away, though. It is in Swansea. Tom will be joining us, like I said. But we're continuing to talk about the QPR derby, the double, mainly derby we have to speak about. You know, so interesting. On a show when we can cover Mitrovic and Carvalho and everyone else, and AK, who are doing so well. Obviously, Tony Knocker's low on confidence at the minute. Now we get to talk about Bobby Reid getting his first goal. Everyone seems to be, it always works out this way, doesn't it, George? Everyone sort of clicks at the right time. Everyone's chipping in, and you know, everyone, when everyone is on song, it can be a powerful thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, as George said, it meant so much to him and the players. He's obviously such a popular guy in the dressing room, and it's not as if he's the player who hasn't looked like scoring, and you know, people are like, oh, you know, getting fed up of the dark. Like, he's been knocking on the door for a long time now. He's hit the post more times than any other player in the Championship, I think, probably. I'd have to check that, but but yeah, no, he's fantastic to see. He's so good, and testament to the strength and depth that we have now, because you know, we've got, apart from, as we said, old Tony's sort of heads down a little bit, but I mean, he's a fantastic player, and I've got no doubt that he will hit a stride at some point this season. It's just, you know, it's the way that it works in football teams, and we're fortunate enough at the moment to have a large majority of our very, very high quality strike force all singing off the same hymn sheet, shall we say.
Exactly. George, firstly, on Bobby Reid, you know, you mentioned how delighted he was, but how delighted you were, the fans, to see him. But also, why do we think that Tony Knockers is so low on confidence at the minute? We know he's a confidence player and goals and performances, but he just can't seem to get that spark at the minute.
Yeah, I think so. Watching him, it seems like he's trying to do the same trick over and over again, which is try and cut in, do a few step overs, and put a cross in the box. And you know, clearly teams are watching him, and clearly teams know what to expect from him. If you drop back a little bit and don't pressure him and don't give him a chance to go past you, then he loses kind of a lot of his skills. And I think that's got to be part of it. For me, I think he's got to start adding more strings to his bow, you know, cut inside, do something different, because I think at the moment he's too one-dimensional. Other teams have sussed him out, and then he's, you know, once he's lost that ability, he doesn't quite know what to do.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. But the thing that I really like Tony Knockers, you know, I've always been an advocate of his, and if one thing that you can't knock him for is effort. You know, he's always putting in
passion merchant.
I didn't say that. Dom's not here, so he can't clip that and put it out on social media.
Mike can. He's just as good, if not better. Mike's the legend.
He's got a little twinkle in his eye. I can see
he's tweeting it as we speak. Yeah,
but yeah, no, he always. I mean, you could say that when his shoulders drop a bit, he maybe has been guilty of not tracking back, but by and large, you can tell he really cares. He really wants to put in a shift. He wants to put in a good performance, and that's why I'm not worried about it. Because it's not an attitude problem. It's just, as you said, things aren't really clicking. So once he mixes it up a bit, I think we'll see the best of Tony Knockers before the end of the season. I really hope we do, at the very least.
Well, maybe it's a case of he'll start to click when maybe a few of the others, you know, their burners have gone, and then he chips in with his. I felt like anytime you win two games on the bench, George, it's great, it's brilliant, 6 points, you know, double header. I feel those 6 points and those two wins from those two games out of an international break, for some reason, means so much more. And it means so much more at this point of the season, when everyone, you know, it is still 17, 18 games played, but everyone was really close. It's tightly knit there. You know, you lose one, you're down to 12th, then you win one, you're one place outside of the playoffs. But I just felt with these two wins, Jules, Fulham have slightly emerged now as the contender rather than the pretender from the pack. You know, we're seeing everyone there 27, 26, and now Fulham just sit there on 32. And I just feel like you've created that little bit of breathing space.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It really feels like after the international break, we've come and hit the ground running, where a few of the teams around us haven't necessarily. You know, for sure, I think Leeds will end up walking away with the league. I think they're too strong and Bielsa's too good a manager. But I think so much more of the places are up for grabs. And I think, as we speak, well, last time I checked, Preston were 3 down.
They're 4-0 down, and they are below you. It's unbelievable. Hull are beating Preston 4-0. But this is a team that many were saying, you know, including myself, dark horses, going really well. They were second in the league. Now, 2 defeats. They lost on the weekend to Derby, who Fulham beat. And now Hull, who also beat Fulham, now Hull are beating them 4-0. Crazy.
It's a funny old league, right? Anyone,
oh, I love it.
Anyone can beat anyone, the classic cliche. But yeah, I think certainly it feels like we're starting to really put ourselves in that top three bracket along with Leeds and West Brom. Like I said, I do think Leeds will walk it, but I think West Brom are definitely up for grabs. So we've put ourselves in the position now. I think now's the time to kick on, you know, really go on a long unbeaten run again if we can. And, you know, before you know it, it might be another good season.
Yeah, and one of the next big markers of that test, you know, really to make that statement clear and mark it further, George, your next few games, if we look at, you know, 4 games, let's do it in that sense, because it's Swansea, we know what they're doing this season. Bristol City, they're going well, another playoff team. Preston, yes, the last 2 games haven't gone their way, but they were second before those 2 games. Then it's Brentford, who are unbeaten in 5 games, really going well at the minute. Another London derby. All the games in the Championship are a marker, but with those two there, you go into this 4 and they could find themselves separated even further, George.
We're in that sort of melting pot with these teams. So, you know, if we stick some points on the board here, we can cut adrift. Key part of the season, really, when you think about it that way. I would have to agree with you. And, you know, I think that with the form that we're showing at the moment, I don't want to go as far as to say it's make or break, but it would make a big statement if we could get sort of 10 points from these next games.
And then look, you never hope it comes down to this, but we're seeing sides like Preston lose 4-0, George. You know, in the last 2 games, Fulham 5-1 in aggregate. Their goal difference is the 4th best in the league, and we're seeing teams just below you. Swansea's only on +5, Forest +7, Bristol City +4. You'd hope it doesn't come down to that, but football is so tight now, it can, George.
It can. I think there's probably 2 bits of it. Number one, goal difference is normally a pretty good indicator about this time of the season where things are going to end up. You know, normally the better teams will get better goal difference. And if you see teams that are outperforming or underperforming, normally it does balance itself out. But also, you're right. I mean, it's an extra point at the end of the day, goal difference. And the Championship is so tight. I mean, I don't know, as we speak, it's probably, you know, broken out a bit, but there was times where kind of the top 6 or so were separated by a couple of points. And if you do get a few goals against Derby, a few against Millwall, you know, that essentially gives you an extra point. And when things are so tight, when I think likely the difference between second and third is going to be so close, you know, that extra goal difference could prove to be the difference.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not just obviously Fulham wanting to win that title, go up automatically. The more you win in those rounds you lose, the playoffs are not sealed, but, you know, the gap now, Fulham lose on the weekend, they should still be in the playoffs because there's a 4-point gap now. This is how it works. But obviously, when you look at that league table, and we quickly talk about Hull, we're seeing Hull beat Fulham, and now we're seeing Hull beat Preston tonight. This is a Hull side that's 16th in the league. It just shows you how crazy that you can't take your eye off the ball for 1 second, can you, George?
No, absolutely not. And it's the reason why the Championship is the best league on the planet. It absolutely...
He smashed his pen down.
I know. I'm trying to think.
He can't even speak.
I'm trying to think of a way that I can say what I'm trying to say without swearing. But it beats the Premier League nine times out of ten, in my opinion, in just terms of unpredictability, you get way more nutty games in the Championship than you do in the Premier League. I'm sorry. There are at least sort of 10 really nutty games in the Championship. And like in the Premier League, there's how many games? You know, like maybe 3, 4, 5 if you're lucky, if it's a particularly bonkers season. It's just unpredictable. It's why I love it so much. And, you know, the late charges. Where were we in the league the year that we went up at Sunderland? We lost 1-0 to Sunderland around Christmas. We were something like, 17th?
Yeah, it's about
And then we went to, you know, that was the year that we lost in the playoff final, wasn't it? When we went on that undefeated run, or was that the year that
That was the winning one. But yeah, even the season before that, it was the same thing. You know, late charge, we snuck into playoffs in, was it 6th?
Yeah.
That season, yeah. I mean, and conversely, look at teams like QPR, who at the moment, I think they're down in something like 16th. A couple of weeks ago, we were thinking, oh, hang on, you know, they could be the ones we end up playing in the playoff. You know, it changes so quickly.
You can't rule anyone out. You can't take your eye off the ball for a second. You've got to be persistently good. But having said that, you can pull together a late charge and, you know, challenge and make playoffs. It's crazy.
George,
it's great.
When you put it like that, I can only buy it, especially when you're pointing at me. I got a little bit scared. So we're going to take a breather, then we're going to come back with listener questions.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
That's right. This is Love Sport, and this is the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, the George Duo, the terrific, dangerous duo that they are, George Cooper and George Singer. Well, we were just talking everything from those two games, QPR and Derby. Fulham are starting to fire on all cylinders. Watch out now, though. We did three-word reviews. It is your next favourite section of the show. It is listener questions. I get to take your questions and put them to the two Georges. The first question is, do you think, this one comes from Luke, by the way, do you think Bobby should be given a go up front?
Good question. Well, I mean, like we said, I can't see unless of an injury or another suspension, which, let's face it, Mitrovic is going to get at some point. Mitro is always going to be the main starter. But what I really liked, and we saw more against Derby than we have probably at other times, is Bobby really pushed up, and it felt more like a 4-2-3-1 rather than a 4-3-3 with Bobby playing that more of the number 10 role, and I think that suits him. You know, I think when we saw some of his best form, probably at Bristol City, he was up front, kind of more of a second striker against next to, you know, more of a typical striker like Tammy Abraham, or you know, they had some great strikers, didn't they? And I think that suits him more of, you know, popping up, being a bit of a poacher, working hard, pressing from the front. I think that second striker role suits him a lot more than a central midfielder role, which we've seen him a few times. So personally, I don't see him being the main striker and kind of that main focal point. But play him off someone like Mitrovic, like we saw against Derby, where he got his goal. I'd love to see more of that. So yeah, I'm well up for seeing that continue.
I would have to agree. However, I would argue that I don't feel he is as effective as he possibly can be playing as a lone striker. I'd much prefer him in either, as you said, second striker off the last man, sort of Andy Johnson type player, or as what is known in Sunday League, playing in the hole. That kind of. that's where I think he's best. You know, pace. You know, linking up players. So yeah, no, I really love the guy and I love to see him start, but I don't think he should be. I don't think he's as effective as he can be as a lone striker.
The next question is from Gad David. It says, "Does Knockhart deserve to start with the form that AK is in?" It's a good question.
Tony knockers.
It's the dilemma.
Tony knockers dilemma. I feel like at the moment, it would be very, very hard and unfair to deny Abubakar Kamara his place in the starting lineup. I feel like competition's healthy, and if he's got the strength and character that I think he does, you know, Tony knockers will work doubly hard in training and try and earn his spot back. You know, coming off the bench, he could be an incredibly effective player. Imagine Tony Knockers on full four cylinders trying to get his place back, you know, against a tiring defence. I think I'm not I don't want to come out and say yes, he should be dropped, but at the moment that is exactly what I'm saying.
A spell on the sidelines could do him good. You know, come on, little impact sub, then the confidence comes back. He comes on, he gets a goal.
Exactly. I think AK should be starting in his current form.
Is AK injured though? Because obviously he came off against Derby, didn't he?
Oh, that'll be all right. It'll
You're throwing
right.
a spanner in the works, George.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's true. Yeah, he did come off, but I think he'll be all right. It's hard as nails, that lad.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right. But.
Next question is from Lewis, or Louis, excuse me if I've got that wrong. It says, what changes do you think will be made, or will any changes be made, when Arta or Reed return?
I think that's a really interesting one. I think if you... let's say 2 weeks ago, if someone asked whether we would have Stefan Johansson and Tom Kearney as our midfield, we'd think, oh, that sounds really lightweight. But actually, in the majority of the game against QPR and Derby, it seemed to suit them really well. And I think Johansson actually played really well in a bit more of a reserved role. He gives so much energy to the side, and I think he played more of that kind of CDM, almost like Kante role. He played it quite well. So I think at this point, it's probably not the ideal situation for him to play that, but he's doing pretty well. Of the two, I really do rate Harrison Reed. Harry Arter's definitely got a bit of a crazy streak on him. A couple of times he's had stern words with the manager, and when you've had to have those kind of words twice so early into your Fulham career, could I say that I trust him and trust him, to stay on the pitch and not get red carded like he's had before? I don't know. So I think at the moment it's fine with Johansson. When Harrison Reed comes back, I'd like that. When Harry Arter comes back, I'm a bit less sure.
Yeah, Harrison Reed, we should see him again. I think Steph Joe's been doing fantastically late. It's the stuff he does off the ball when not in possession, like just those tactical little fouls to break up the play, stop the counter attack. He's just an expert at it. I think he's the best player we've got at doing that, which it often goes unnoticed, but the effect that it has on the game is enormous. Arse is a muppet, man. I can't be bothered.
Really?
With him.
That's strong, George.
I can't be bothered. Like, his attitude stinks, and I
that strongly.
Yeah, I to be honest, I wouldn't be disappointed if I didn't see him play for the rest of the season. I know he's a great player and he does a job for us, but I don't feel like he puts out good vibes for the rest of the squad. I'd much rather see Harrison Reed or Stefan Johansson in the team.
George, you agree with that? Or
maybe not as strongly. I think he's got a load of great qualities, Harry Arter. And when he's got his head screwed on, he actually brings a lot to the team. He's very energetic, good in the tackle, and really good on the ball as well. He's a very good passer. So if you could just, take off Harrison Reed's head and put it on Harry Arter's body, then I think that would work nicely. But I think it's... especially at such a key time of the season, is now the time you really want to stir the pot with Harry Arter? Yeah. Probably not.
I mean, I hope he proves me wrong and it has a fantastic rest of the season. I really does.
Well, we're getting to the interesting questions now. The next question is from the easily the best member of the Cooper family. It's Freddie. It says, are we going up?
Freddie.
Yeah, we are, bro. We're going up, mate. And we're going to, whether it be on the via the league or via the playoffs, we're going up. You better believe it.
Good man, George.
Yeah. Why not? It's not often I'm optimistic on this show, but yeah, I'm feeling optimistic. Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, we're keeping with the strange themes, what the Fulham East team do, and I absolutely love it. This question again, very familiar. I think it's from our very own George Singer. This question is: who is the sexiest George on the Fulham East team?
I'll let you be the judge of that, Charlie.
I'm definitely not being the judge of this one. Sitting in the middle of you both, George. What? At what point of the day did you think I want to ask this question to find out? Because you asked the question.
I did. It was a test question. We were trying to work out how Instagram works and how to do questions.
And that was your idea for a test question.
A couple of incompetent old grandmas. Like, right, how does this work? Like, how do you get the question? And I'd be like trying to... And then I wasn't sure whether anyone had actually asked the question, and then we eventually worked out between us. Well, yeah, like a couple of doddery old farts.
You worked out who the sexiest was between you, right? No, did you work that out?
Yeah, well, we had a little competition.
Fulhamish team, tweet us at Lovesport Radio, tweet at Fulhamish, 0208 70 25 8. We want to know who the sexiest George is on the Fulhamish
team.
Let's end it with this one. What is your best Fulham moment of the season so far from Will Wilson 450?
Yeah, he's my best mate, Will Wilson. Send that in. He's become a Fulham fan this season.
Get on, Will.
Yeah.
Will actually, he's just got in touch. He says George Singer is the sexiest George on team. Will?
Oh no, Will, you're my best mate.
I can't argue with that. Best moment of the. I think you've got a very, very strong contention for Abubakar Kamara dispatching QPR a couple of days ago. Does anything get better than that? And his little cheeky smile in the press conference at the end. I absolutely love it. AK's first goal to draw us level. I went absolutely balmy. So I'd say that's, for me, so in terms of actually going mad, most euphoric moment, probably that. Yeah,
George?
You've got to say that. Or maybe the Millwall game. Like, it was so dominant and so... yeah, I mean, really, really special game to watch that.
Yeah, Will was with me for that game.
Was he?
Yeah, so he might have to...
All right, it's not Cooper Loving. Fred had a go, Will Wilson had a go. Unbelievable, George, don't worry, I'm on your side. Singer's side, that is. Well, we are talking about the Swansea game next. Tom Coleman will be joining us from Wales Online to give us a Swansea preview. It's another Friday night game for Fulham.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
That's right, it's time for the opposition view on the Fulham Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish team, George Cooper and George Singer. No regulars tonight, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. Dom is at the cinema watching Charlie's Angels, but we plough on talking everything from the Fulham camp. We've done the listener questions, we've done the free word reviews. Now we look to the game on Friday night. It is Swansea. Delighted to say Tom Coleman joins us now. Tom from the Wales Online, giving us that Swansea preview. Swansea going really well in the Championship this season, Tom. Then the last few games, they just seem to hit a bit of a mini slump. Is that fair to say?
You're right, boys. No, I think it probably is fair to say. To be honest, it's the first time probably this season under Cooper that people are starting to ask about the fabled Swansea way. Which is obviously that sort of free-flowing brand of attacking football. But, at the end of the day, it's important to remember that I think a lot of fans before this season probably didn't expect Swansea to be in the position that they're in. They're still very much in the thick of it in terms of, you know, challenging for that top six. So, I don't think there's too many Swansea fans who are massively worried at the moment. But like you say, there probably are a few little niggles about results and probably performances as well. But I think on the whole, it's very, very difficult really to sort of take any kind of issue with how the season's gone so far.
Yeah. So what kind of thing were you looking from the season? So obviously the change of manager and Graham Potter going over to Brighton. I know a lot of Swansea fans held him in very high regard. What kind of, you know, what were you hoping to get out of the season? Was it were you just looking for a bit of consolidation? Did you really think that you could push for playoffs? What were you hoping for in September?
I think there was, there was a real feeling that under Graham Potter there was some sort of green shoots of progress, as it were. And I think, you know, people did kind of feel down here that with the right sort of two or three players, with the right man on board, perhaps there could be a sort of challenge for the playoffs. But I think, you know, in all honesty, I think a lot of Swansea fans perhaps saw this as a team and it's still in transition. It's still a very young team, remember. A team full of, you know, players who are clearly got a lot of potential, but perhaps haven't been proving themselves at a championship level on a regular basis just yet. But I think, you know, there was certainly a feeling that this was a team that had that had the potential to do something pretty special.
I think looking ahead to Friday's game, it's got the potential to be quite a good encounter. You know, we're very similar positions in the league, arguably kind of a six pointer if you like. If you think that hopefully both teams are going to be there or thereabouts. So you've got obviously Ayew, who's pitched in with many goals and six goals and four assists, and you've got Surridge also pitching in with some goals. Who do you anticipate is going to bother our Fulham defence on Friday? Who is your man to watch, as it were?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, mate, I mean, the trouble with Swansea in the last few weeks has kind of been the sort of creation of chances. Mm. I think you've got the likes of Bora Baston, who's very, very good in the air. I think he won pretty much. I think it was something like 5 out of 7 of the aerial duels in the last game, but you know there was nothing really there to back it up, if you know what I mean. And then you have Andre Ayew, who's got the pace. When on the deck, I think he can trouble pretty much any defence in the Championship. And certainly when I think back to the South Wales Derby, which is a game that he really, really shone in, that was a game that his pace really, really came through. So, you know, I think there's definitely the tools there to cause problems for Fulham, especially for the likes of Alfie Mawson, who obviously we all know what makes him tick down here. But for me, the worry is for me is midfield, because I mean I look at what the options that Fulham have got, you know, the likes of Kearney and Harry Arter, and then I look at sort of what Swansea have had, and you know it's George Byers and Matt Grimes in the centre there, two players that you know when they've been good they've been incredible, you know, very, very good. But when they've been bad, they've been absolutely abysmal. And they've both come in for quite a lot of stick recently. So I think you know, that'll be the worry for me, is that you know, I think Fulham probably have the edge in the centre of the park. Probably got players that are more equipped to sort of play that kind of, you know, that, as I said earlier, that free-flowing brand of attacking football. But yeah, I mean, it will remain to be seen. As I said, you know, the likes of Bora, the likes of Andre, the likes of Sam Sturridge, they're definitely capable of hurting any defence in the Championship. But yeah, it really is that middle of the park that does kind of concern me. I mean, thinking about it, also at the back, really, I mean, the injury to Mike van der Hoorn will be very, very interesting to see if he plays. We're going to be hearing from Steve Cooper tomorrow. If he's out, I would expect young Ben Cabango to come in, and you know, Cabango coming up against the likes of Alexander Mitrovic, who's very, very used to this level, very, very experienced, and you know, always a threat. It's going to be a massive, massive test for him. I mean, he only made his senior debut the other night, so it's going to be tough.
Deep end. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot to consider for Steve Cooper ahead of this. But, I mean, I think the comforting thing is, you know, he will have done his homework. He's the sort of manager who really, he never underestimates a team. He really, really does do his homework. He's very, very meticulous. He will leave no stone unturned. I'm sure he will have come up with a plan to try and sort of neutralise that attacking threat that Fulham have got. An attacking threat that I'm sure will cause a lot of teams plenty of problems over the course of the season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really key one, isn't it? The van der Hoorn injury. I wanted to ask about the other end of the pitch you used. So Bora Baston, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think came to you guys when you're in the Premier League and been in and out of the Swansea team for a while. You know what's obviously, you know, struggled in certain regards. What's changed for him this season? Obviously, kind of 6 goals at the moment. Is it a new setup which he's starting to flourish in? Is it a run of games? You know, what's starting to tick for Baston at the moment?
Well, I'll be completely honest with you. Swansea probably would have liked to have moved him on in the summer. There just really wasn't a suitor for him. And I think, you know, Steve Cooper's the sort of guy who, you know, he's looked at the squad he's got and thought, well, you know, there's not... Okay, maybe we do want to move him on, but there's no point leaving him out of the team if he's still here, if you know what I mean. And, you know, the sales of Dan James and Ollie McBurney recently have kind of eased the financial burden, which has kind of helped to help the case to keeping Bora. Because let's not forget, he's a former record signing for Swansea City. And... yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone really expected him to come back in the way he has. And it really has kind of helped to fill in that gap that, you know, like I said, the likes of Ollie McBurney and that have vacated, I guess. But, you know, he's a big aerial threat. He is a pretty predatory player. And I think he's, at the championship level, I think he can. He's definitely capable of doing a job in there. But it's a funny one, really, because I just don't know if the opportunity comes up to move him on again. I just don't know if he stays. But I think Steve Cooper's looking at it from the point of view of, well, we've got a record signing striker here who's already scored goals in the championship. Let's keep him. Let's see what he can do. Obviously, he has been in and out of the team recently, but I think there's still a feeling he's still got something to offer.
Good stuff. I just wanted to ask a bit about away day experience, Tom, because the Liberty Stadium's obviously quite a modern ground, isn't it? I've never been myself, but it looks like it could potentially be a fantastic away day for any Fulham fans that are planning to make the travel to Wales over on Friday. What would you recommend doing? Are there any good sort of pubs that you'd recommend visiting? Any sort of local delights that you would recommend?
Oh, well, I think in terms of pubs, I'm afraid you're asking the wrong man. But in terms of what to do, go around the beach, man. Every set of fans that I know who's come down here has always had a good time down at the beach. So even if it's raining, make the best of it. Because I know you don't have the seaside down in London, so it's always a fun day out, isn't it? But it's a cracking little ground, and locals are very, very friendly. So I'm sure any kind of Fulham fan ended up there will have a good time.
Well, Tom, what is your score prediction for Friday night?
I'll go a draw, 1-1.
Oh, you're sitting on the fence there, Splinters, Tom. We appreciate
you. I always do. I always do.
We appreciate you coming on because we know you're a busy man tonight. Tom Coleman there from Wales Online giving us preview. He sang 1-1. I turn my attentions to you in the studio. George, please don't encourage my guest to talk about drinking. He clearly did not want to. George, singer, I'm only winding you up. How do you think this one will play out in score prediction?
I'll go on. I'm feeling optimistic. 2-1 Fulham.
2-1 at Fulham. That would be 9 from 9 at the international break. George, do you agree?
I think we are going to win this game 3-1.
3-1. That great run of form continues. We, as always, will be here every Wednesday to talk about the game. Win, lose or draw. 2-1, 3-1.
3-2.
0-0. He's changed his mind already. Yeah, unbelievably, as he always does. Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins. I was joined in the studio with the Fulhamish boys, George Cooper and George Singer. We will see you next time at the same time, 9 o'clock on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.